All right, this is awesome. I'm just looking through the dad joke thing. I just bought some shoes from a drug dealer. I don't know what he laced them with, but I've been tripping all day.
I like that one.
That is like brilliant. That's like that's like a compound dad joke.
I hate to be known for dad jokes. That would just be awful.
But you're a dad.
Yeah, but
you kind of tell shitty jokes, Alan.
Well, and let's be honest, you can't not do the dad jokes. Like as soon as you have kids, you're like one of those like, well, I gotta still keep telling jokes, but they can't be all about incest and bestiality.
I don't think I. Well, yeah, okay.
Told you.
Eh.
Oh, by the way, hello, internet. No, I saw you there. The internet thought I was giving them the cold shoulder. I wasn't. I love you, internet.
We're minus Jay. He is suffering on a
He's
plane
in the air right now, I think.
And being miserable because there's somebody singing behind him. So he is
I saw that. That is
Here's the thing for me. Okay. Once upon a time, I was on an airplane and somebody and it was god awful early in the morning. And somebody on the airplane decided to paint their nails.
Oh,
and you know that all the air is kind of like, you know,
recycled
on the airplane, right? So the smell of nail polish filled the cabin of the airplane. And finally, somebody had, you know, had enough and stood up and said, stop it. You can't paint your nails on the airplane. What are you, crazy?
What are you, retarded? And I'll be
shame
Jay
them into stop doing their nails, right? So, like, this person is singing on Jay's plane. I would stand up and say, shut the fuck up. I paid for this ticket, and I don't want to listen to you.
I have an amusing story. So, my very first college dorm room, it was on the end of the hall, so it shared. One wall was touching another person's dorm room, and that person was a vocal major.
Oh no.
And so I would be, So I'd be sitting there just late at night, you know, reading a book or studying or doing homework or all that. And suddenly this just beautiful opera would be filtering through the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And it was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy was, and yet when around in public and all that, just super quiet, never said anything. Like the people that sing in mixed company are never the people that are excellent singers. They're the ones that no, they sing when a song needs to be sung.
I don't care.
Yeah. The people that want to broadcast it to everybody who want to sing on the subway or sing on the street corner and all that. They're always subpar.
No. If I'm not paying to listen to you sing, I don't want to listen to you sing. I'm good at shushing people. It's like part of my job.
Yep.
I don't know. I have a hard time just generally with music. I don't listen to music. Like if I'm home alone, just me and the cats and, you know, I'm doing, you know, housework or whatever. It's quiet in my house. I don't ever play music just to play music. So I guess I have a hard time like with audio. Is it audio? Audible? I don't know. Whatever the word is, like, you know, noise. I don't like white noise. I don't like noise. I guess I'm a born librarian. I don't know.
You don't like white noise, but Brita, do you hate the black noise?
Well, I don't want to be racist.
I mean, overall, you don't have a problem with the black noise, but it's lazy.
Get a job, black noise.
Oh my god!
Do they use the term black noise? Is that the opposite of white noise? Like the
what would that be?
It'd be like somebody running the garbage disposal.
Oh man!
Like it would, you know, or a. or those old bathroom fans that used to sound like cement mixers.
Leaf blowers.
Leaf blowers. A Ford Pinto idling.
You know what? There actually is a thing called black noise.
Is there? Oh, yes. My gosh.
Black noise is effectively silence.
Oh.
With a tiny, the official definition is silence with a tiny bit of random noise at some frequencies and some noise above 20 kilohertz, which is the upper limit of human hearing. So basically, white noise is that, you know, a hiss or a fan noise or something like that. But black noise is basically silence.
Nothing. Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
There you go.
Racist. So do they have a term for, because generally the term like white noise is, yeah, just noise that is there, but it's more harmonic and omnipresent. Like, what about just straight dissonant?
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, a hiss that,
like,
you know,
TV static.
Yeah, TV static is the pretty much the definition of white noise. Now, if you go to Urban Dictionary and look up white noise, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. The top definition of black noise.
No, it's going to be totally racist.
Well, I don't know about totally racist, but it's not as bad as the second definition.
I'm going there right now.
Which is really bad. So the main,
look it up for yourself.
The top definition is a mind-numbing sensation that deafens the ears when all that can be found on the television is BET or VH1. Although I don't know how they equate BET and VH1, because I haven't listened to VH1 in a long time, but wasn't that like effectively
it was like MTV Lite.
Yeah, it was like the white soccer mom rock TV station.
Yeah.
It could be something different by now. Yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, they don't even show music on MTV anymore, right?
Yeah, who knows?
Is MTV even a thing anymore?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Hopefully not.
It could be.
Yeah, I don't know. And the second definition,
I remember when they showed videos.
The second definition is, well, it's
bad.
It's, yeah.
Okay. So how was everybody's week?
It was a week.
Okay.
It's been a shitty week.
This is my first day off in a week.
Ooh, so that's nice.
It is nice. I cooked, we had tongue tacos.
I saw that.
I made the tongue in the Instant Pot.
Yeah.
I put it in the Instant Pot with, like, you know, celery and carrots and onions and garlic and peppercorns and bay leaves and that sort of thing.
By the way, that picture you put was both very, very beautiful and very, very disturbing at the same time.
Thank you. And
what is it?
What?
That was the tongue, right?
That was the tongue, yeah.
Yeah. How much do you like it?
Well, let me talk about the recipe first, Alan. So I put the tongue in.
I see where you're going, Alan. I'm just saying I noticed.
I'm not going to say it.
Go ahead, Brie.
You know what I'm going to say? Every time I say tongue, I'm going to say beef tongue. So I put the beef tongue in the Instant Pot with all the kind of aromatic stuff. And I put water in there, kind of half covering the tongue. And then I cooked it on manual for 55 minutes and it came out perfect. Sometimes when you cook a beef tongue, it comes out and the taste bud skin stuff is hard to peel off. Like you have to kind of pick it off. Like it comes off in chunks, but the taste buds on this tongue just peeled right off, and like, you know, like a little tongue glove just slipped right off. And I put it in the refrigerator. I cooked it 2 days ago and I put it in the refrigerator for 2 days because I knew we were going to have my mom over for tacos this evening. And I took the tongue and I diced it up into little pieces and I fried it up in the pan. And we had it as tacos, and it was so delicious. The beef tongue, I really love beef tongue. It's great.
damn it.
Sorry, but, Alan.
But you had tongue in your tacos?
Oh my God. Yes.
So Brita, did you serve it cold?
What?
Did you
no,
serve it cold?
No.
So you had hot beef tongue in your tacos.
Oh my God. Yes. I did. It was great. It was great.
If you ever had any doubt that we were still mentally 12 years old,
I'll be here all week.
It should be completely gone by now.
But Weird, I know that you've had tongue, right?
I've never had tongue, no.
Well, no. Now's the time. Yeah. Get yourself a tongue, stick it in your Instant Pot.
Mm-hmm. You too. You've never had heart.
You too can love the tongue, Weird.
I have had heart. I have had heart, but I've had it stuffed, which was kind of me, you know.
Sounds not shitty.
Yeah. I really want to do heart on the grill.
Yeah. You want to do it on the, though. I do it on cast iron.
Okay. So it gets, but really
hot. you could do it on the grill. Just leave that grill wide the fuck open. Like you want to pretty much just sear the ever loving bejesus out of it.
Okay. And a quick sear, like you're doing a,
yeah, I think. You can go to my blog before when you buy it for okay. I came up with what I thought was the perfect, you know, perfect way.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, let me see. Da, 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 da.
People are like reluctant to try pieces of meat like tongue and heart. Now, I don't blame people not wanting to eat organ meat like liver and stuff, because it does have like that organ meat kind of flavor.
Oh, liver's gross. I won't touch a kidney.
I won't touch kidneys.
I mean, when you look at cooking videos for kidneys, they will say you need to do this, otherwise your whole kitchen will smell like piss, because you are dumping a cup of piss out of that kidney, because that's what that kidney does.
Right.
Well, and they also filter all the crap out of you.
Right. Yeah. They're just gross. But tongue and heart, they're muscles. The same way, I mean, they're different texture muscles, obviously, but they're muscles in the same way that, you know, you're eating a steak or a roast or whatever. It's muscle meat, so it's not organ meat. Mm-hmm. And I know it looks weird, whatever, but honestly, tongue is so, it's like delicious roast beef flavor, but it has like a soft texture, kind of like gyro meat. You know what I mean? It's kind of like that. It kind of reminds me of gyro meat, like that kind of softer texture. It's beautiful. And when you fry it up in the pan after you've already cooked it, you know, you cook it, you cool it, and then you slice it and fry it in the pan. It crisps up really beautifully.
Oh, nice.
It's gorgeous. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to get my hands on one.
Yep. Really good.
But yeah, no, heart is, my heart recipe is get your heating implement as hot as you can get it. And then 3 minutes on a side.
Oh, okay.
And that's like a medium rare.
Okay, perfect.
So if you take it more than rare than that, adjust. And honestly speaking, the first time I had it, I overcooked it, and I got it like a nice, like it was like a solid medium, maybe even closer to medium well, and it was still awesome.
Okay, done. I'll get a heart this summer.
Yep.
From my beef guy.
If you can have him slice it for you first, do that, because the first time I got it, my grocery store sells it sliced, but there was one piece that either missed the slicer or whatever, but it was like double the size of all the others.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, I need to cut this one. And let me tell you, it was like cutting through a racquetball. And I was like, oh, this is going to be ugly. And nope, it was awesome. Like, it definitely relaxed quite a bit when it got shown the heat.
Huh. Okay. It's on the menu for this summer.
All right.
We're thinking of actually building a fire pit to cook over.
Nice.
You know, use like, you know, wood chunks and stuff to cook over the fire. So I'm thinking that maybe we could get it pretty hot if we use a cast iron griddle over the fire.
With like a spit?
So. Not a spit, no.
Like put like a pig on a spit?
No, more like a... just a grate.
You know, like a grate or like a cast iron griddle or something over the fire.
Yeah, no, when when I, my wife had never been camping until she was like, I want to say like 25, 26.
Smart girl.
Yeah. And when, and so when we went, she started reading about cooking over a campfire. Mm-hmm. And like, I was always saying, like, every time I went camping with my parents, we always ate just awful food. That was like the one, that was like the one thing that was kind of forgettable about camping, was the food was always just kind of lame. But no, we ate like freaking kings.
Nice.
When we go camping. Cause yeah, there's good stuff to cook on that.
Oh yeah. We used to, I remember when I was a wee lad
in the Scouts,
in the Scouts, we used to have like contests to see who could make the best, fanciest meal on a campfire. But stuff like
let me guess, Alan, your surprise ingredient was mammoth.
No, but you know, things like things like cobbler in a Dutch oven were considered like entry level.
Yep.
For stuff like that. So it was, you know, you can really get creative. I mean,
I don't know, a Dutch oven while you're camping is pretty tricky, because I mean, as a general rule, we sleep in separate sleeping bags. Oh, no. That's a dad joke. Oh.
Weird is picking up the slack for Jay.
That hurt. Ouch. I literally felt physical pain on that one.
Oh boy.
Oh. So I made a thing in my Instant Pot.
Is this the Instant Pot show?
Yes.
Okay.
I haven't used my. Mine's sitting in a box in my kitchen.
I did the meatball
in the house.
I did the meatball and noodle thing with the spaghetti sauce.
How'd it go?
It was great. It turned out really surprising. It actually surprised me because, you know, you put the meatballs, put some water in, put the meatballs in, dump the noodles in, dump the sauce in, stir it up a little so that, you know, there's an, you know, equal distribution of sauce, dump in a little more water. And you set it for, you know, whatever time it is. But I was worried that I didn't have enough sauce because, you know, normally when you cook spaghetti or noodles or something like that, it's, you wind up with this kind of bland noodle because it's cooked in water. And then you put some sauce on it. And if, you know, the sauce never really sticks to it and it's just, you know, meh. But if you cook it in the Instant Pot under pressure with the spaghetti sauce, a naked noodle with nothing on it tastes like delicious spaghetti sauce. It actually has a flavor other than, you know, dough.
Yep.
It was great. Worked out great. Like 4 minutes.
You're welcome.
In the Instant Pot. And then boom.
Yeah. I'm excited about trying mine.
So, yep.
The first thing I made in my Instant Pot was hard boiled eggs. So
hard boiled eggs. Hard boiled eggs. What's the trick? And how do they come out?
I put them, I have a, like a wire mesh basket, and you put a cup of water in the pot, and then you put the eggs in the basket and the basket in the pot, and 2 minutes on high pressure. And then I let it like natural release for 10 minutes. And then I pull them out and I run them under ice water, cold water. And then I put them in the fridge. They're perfect.
Yep.
That's it.
Right out of the shell.
Yep. Oh my gosh. They slide right. I mean, like slide out of the shell. It's
great. I had forgotten actually. Cause my technique is I put the eggs in cold water and then put the pot on the stove at the highest heat possible and watch it. And as soon as it comes to a boil, turn it off and throw the cover on.
Mm-hmm.
And, I keep the cover on cause that helps it come to boil a little bit faster. And as soon as I hear that that cover start to rattle, turn the heat off. And then I time it 15 minutes. And then as soon as that 15 minutes is up, I dump out all the hot water, do like two or three changes of cold water to get those eggs as cold as possible. And then you can just put them in the fridge. And I saw somebody at work today who had obviously used a different technique, and I had forgotten how much of a pain in the ass an improperly hard boiled egg is to get out of the shell.
Yeah.
Like she must've been sitting there for like 8 minutes peeling this motherfucking egg. 8 minutes for an egg ain't give fucking up. Worth it. Yeah. 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 Just like 3 minutes or less, and like 3 minutes if you're taking your sweet ass time and answering toddler questions.
So today, guys, I wanted to mention this. Mike and I were coming back from the grocery store, and because we needed guacamole for the tacos. But so we're coming back from the grocery store, and right across the street from the exit of the grocery store is the police station, and they had their flag at half mast. And I was thinking, who died? And I said to Mike, I said, who died? Why is the flag at half mast? He's like, I don't know, Don Rickles? I was like, no, they do not put the flag at half mast for Don Rickles.
I put the flag at half mast for Don Rickles.
That's what Mike said. Mike's like, well, they should, Don Hell Rickles. Yeah. And so I looked it up. I went on to the news, and John Glenn died.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I knew that.
First American to orbit the Earth died. Yep. He was 95 years old and an Ohioan, and by the way.
And he was buried in Arlington Cemetery.
Right. Also Marine. Yep. But, you know, I was thinking about him, and I was thinking, we don't have people like that anymore, where it's like the first man to blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, you know, we have, and that generation is kind of passing, right?
We do have people like that, but nobody's really interested in the first guy to marry his robot sex bride.
Right. But
we've got whatever the hell is it, Scott Kelly, whatever fuckhead Mark Kelly's possibly more sane twin brother.
In like, the space station?
Yeah. I think he's got the record for the most time spent in orbit. Like he spent over a year once up there.
Yeah, but that thing's like a Hilton hotel these days. I mean, it's not like they're sticking your ass in a tin can and launching it into orbit and you don't know if you're going to live or not.
Right.
Yeah. It's not like they're riding the space shuttle.
What is going to be the next thing? We're going to have a generation of first man to, is it going to be space exploration or is it going to be, what else is there? I was thinking about that. And what do you guys think? Deep sea stuff? Like someone to leave?
Eventually we're going to get a Mars mission.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got all sorts of deep sea stuff. I mean, name the crew of Alvin when they went down what was it? Bathysphere? What was the one that did the Challenger depths?
Oh yeah.
I can't even remember the name of the fucking sub, let alone the people on it. Yeah.
But see, that's the thing is,
it'll be Mars.
Is nothing remarkable anymore?
Well, the age of exploration is kind of over.
Oh, that's so sad.
Well, until,
yeah, I know.
Until we're going to like other solar systems and landing on planets, which you can actually do something with. You know, and even then it's going to be, I don't know. It's like the age of singular people doing extraordinary things is kind of over, you know. We don't, like John Glenn, they launched, Neil Armstrong, first man on the moon, If assuming we ever get, to sending people to Mars, which is, I don't know, I used to think it was a big deal when I was a kid, but now it seems kind of pointless because there's nothing there. And, it's easier to live on Antarctica on this planet and almost nobody does it. So why would you haul your ass to Mars to be miserable? I just don't see the point.
Yeah.
But,
I was thinking the one guy that really recently, one guy that did something super, super exciting. The guy who landed the thing on the asteroid.
Yeah. The guy with the cool shirt.
With the cool shirt?
Matt Taylor. Yeah. Matt Taylor. He landed a thing on the asteroid or on the comet. No, it was a comet, right? Yeah. Which is going so fast in space, and he managed to land a thing on a comet. And the only thing he's remembered for is that fucking shirt that he wore.
Yeah.
Because the internet like made such a big deal about it.
Yep.
I mean, the guy is landing a thing on a comet.
Nobody
I don't
cared
care
about
if
that.
He's like, I don't care if he's naked wearing bunny ears. I mean,
that would actually be cool.
Well,
I'm all for the naked wearing bunny ears.
In my mind, he can wear whatever the hell he wants because he's landing a thing on a comet. Come on. But he's remembered for the shirt.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're, yeah. You know, we're kind of blasé about everything now. It's the postmodern, you know.
We're so jaded.
Yeah, we kind of are, you know. It's you know, we're, as a culture, you know, we want for nothing. Even our poor people are grossly obese and have everything they need to survive. You know, they're not, nobody's going to starve to death unless they want to.
Right.
You know, it's. You know, it's a decadent culture, and you know, you don't have great strivings out of decadent cultures. It just doesn't happen.
That's sad.
Yeah.
You know, also you don't have good reporting.
No, you don't. On a great
no,
many
because
things.
nobody's really paying attention anyway.
I've got to talk about this. This came up just before the show on the Squirrel Report page on Facebook. But Tommy posted this CBS News thing of crazy looking fish from the deep sea. And it is, it lists one of 29, but 29 is the come see our next report. Blah, blah. And it is literally just photographs from, I mean, I don't even know, like, if they're all from the same. They all look like they're on some sort of research vessel because there's all lots of stainless steel.
Sure.
But yeah, the these pictures of fish and Twitter comments.
Oh, you know what this is? Some guy on Instagram. I think it's Instagram or Twitter. He's a Russian guy, and he works on a fishing boat. And sometimes they, you know, I could be wrong, but I've seen this Twitter account where there's a Russian guy and he works on some ship somewhere. And I think it's a fishing boat. And they occasionally get shit from the deep sea. And he posts pictures of the scary fish that they just randomly find when they're catching fish.
Yep.
I think that's what it is, because I'm pretty sure I've seen these pictures before.
Yep. Let's go through here. Let's see.
And okay, so I've seen these pictures like months ago, CBS News.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's the just thing. Saying. CBS, so say basically CBS went through a Twitter feed, pulled a bunch of pictures into a listicle or some sort of like list of, you know, clickbait thing, and didn't even bother to like do any research, like call up somebody like Weird and go, "Hey man, what are these fish? Can you name them?" Which
it's definitely I'm scrolling through his Twitter feed right now. It is definitely a bottom trawler, big motherfucking one too. So yeah,
is that a thing?
What?
What is it, a fishing boat or?
Yeah. They're dragging a net behind the boat.
And so what are they fishing for exactly?
Fish associated with the bottom.
That fish. You eat or?
Yes. Yeah. This is food fishing.
Okay, but these are not food.
Yeah, but you.
I mean, I would not eat that thing.
No. I mean, you forget, like, that's all of my like sea research that I did. So it's all, you know. Some of them you might. But you also just pick up other stuff. So yeah, you get all sorts of crazy things in there. But like, it's just like the crazy looking deep sea fish, and like a third of them like don't even go into deep water. And then don't even bother. I like don't even figure out what the hell they're looking at.
I suspect the deep sea thing comes from like deep sea fishing, which is not really deep sea fishing. You know,
yeah.
they're talking about, you know, driving, you know, to these people, deep sea is out of sight of land.
Exactly.
Which,
but yeah, it's a bunch of cool pictures.
There's some really ugly looking fish.
And I went and blew in about 15 minutes and identified all of them, at least as best I could.
Yeah. So if you want to know what these fish are, go to the Score Report group and look. And Weird has done CBS's work for them.
Yes. And they should be ashamed of themselves.
They should be.
But yeah. Oh man, this guy's got some really good pictures.
I bet he pulls up some weird shit out of the ocean.
He's pulling up some like he's got some like, there's a deep sea angler right there. Like there's a whole bunch of like way better shots for that. And, awesome. It's a relative of the lumpfish. I've always seen them called sea snails, and he's got someone stuck it to the bottom of a pipe. Its pelvic fins are modified to form a suction cup so they can stick to the bottom. And someone just stuck it to a pipe. Oh, geez, there's a big sunfish.
Sunfish are those giant...
baby freaking wheel!
Oh, the baby wheel! Yeah.
Weird's freaking out over the fish. We've lost Weird, Brita.
That's okay.
No, please. I'll come back.
Please.
Is that a coelacanth?
I think the coelacanth is one of the coolest stories ever.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure he's got one here that's the posted on March 10th. I'm pretty fucking sure that's a coelacanth.
You young whippersnappers don't remember the coelacanth controversy, but I remember when I was a kid, the coelacanth was an extinct fish. It was a prehistoric extinct fish that you found in fossils.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was small.
Yeah.
There's the other big one. They're small.
And some, like, I don't know, Spanish, Portuguese guy or something, fisherman pulls this weird fish out of the water. And all of a sudden, hey, look, it's not extinct.
And not only is it not extinct, number one, it's huge.
Yeah.
It's like the coelacanth that he caught was a small one.
Right. But they are bigger.
It was twice the size of the fossil records, and they can get to be about eight times the size of the largest fossil record. And there was a tribe in Madagascar where that was their primary food source.
Oh yeah. They're like, hey, we catch these things all the time.
Yeah. If it wasn't for these, we would die.
Yeah. It's pretty funny. Everybody was just so sure. Kind of reminds me of the Brontosaurus saga, you know, how it was the Brontosaurus was a thing and then it wasn't a thing and then it was again.
There was never a Brontosaurus.
Somebody
else realized that the guy that discovered the Brontosaurus was a much better marketer than the guy that first discovered the Brontosaurus and called it the Apatosaurus. So that's all it was. There absolutely is a Brontosaurus. Possibly the way you saw them in the museum wasn't how they actually looked, but there was such a thing as a Brontosaurus, or the thing that you're thinking about when you think of Brontosaurus that existed.
Yes.
It just turned out, no, it's technically not called a Brontosaurus. You can call it a Brontosaurus if you want. Yeah, you could. I mean, Brontosaurus could be referred to as a common name for the Apatosaurus.
Yeah. Well,
just like Mainers call green sea urchins whore's eggs.
It makes me, it gives me hope for Pluto. Maybe someday it'll be rehabilitated into a real planet again.
Did you see that April Fool's joke?
No.
Yeah. I forget who it was, but somebody posted an April Fool's joke that was Pluto is now reinstated as a planet.
Yeah, don't get my
hopes. And I'm like, I saw it a couple of days afterwards, and I'm like, let me see what date that was posted. Oh yeah, that's what I thought.
Damn it!
I already smelled a rat. Is the fact that, I mean, the big deal with Pluto is there's a whole bunch of shit out there that is bigger than Pluto, and we under no circumstance we've discovered it after we discovered Pluto. I mean, the only reason why we know Pluto exists is because it's really shiny.
Yeah.
And so
it's covered in frozen shit.
So it's just because it's not big enough.
Yes.
So
it's not a planet.
It's yes, two that's things. Why, that's Pluto. Exactly Pluto right. is Pluto is very very small.
So
and Pluto has an orbit that crosses the orbit of other planets.
So does
like Neptune or something, doesn't it?
Nope. It Pluto crosses Neptune's orbit. And Pluto crosses Neptune's orbit, and the only other things that cross orbits are things like comets and asteroids and things like that.
I disagree.
It'll always be a planet to me.
Me too.
Okay.
I don't care. Doesn't make a difference.
Poor Pluto.
It's out there. Whatever we call it, it's still doing its thing, so doesn't matter.
Speaking of dwarf planets,
Is this a short joke?
No. It was dead serious. It was on Thunderfoot's YouTube channel. I don't know if anybody watches his.
Nope.
But he's like a particle physicist or something like that. But he's a skeptic. I mean, number one, he was one of the guys that was like, you know, with the whole Gamergate thing, and has the anti-feminist, group, but he also does skeptic stuff. And so he goes to like Kickstarter and GoFundMe and all those groups and like finds like these spectacular things like the solar roadway.
Oh yeah, the things that are completely all these bullshit.
Weird solar cell shit, and like 90% of them are solar cell designs made by someone who doesn't know how shitty solar cells are.
Sure, and, like the solar cell shingles that some jerk off is selling now.
Yeah. And all he does is back of the envelope calculations doesn't even break a sweat. Like it's literally like super duper fucking easy calculations that I'm following along with. And it's like, yep, see, that's impossible. Like somebody is talking about, they want to build a skyscraper. But instead of building it from the ground, they want to grab an asteroid, bring it into geosynchronous orbit with the Earth, and then hang the skyscraper from it.
Oh yeah, I saw that one.
And his first thing is, all right, cool. When you use the toilet, where does it go? And then pointed out the fact that like setting this thing in an orbit around the Earth, like, it's this gigantic skyscraper because like 3/4 of it's in space and then the rest of it's, several hundred feet in the, in the air, thousands of feet in the air. I don't really, it's all they've got is like artist renditions of everything. Of and they're like, yeah, it's going to be flying supersonically.
Of course.
And what's going to keep a skyscraper from breaking up at supersonic speeds?
Yeah, nothing. It's like it's the same thing as those kids that play Call of Duty 3 times and then start designing rifles.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, but he mispronounced Siri. He was actually talking about like the effort to drag an asteroid around, and was talking about Ceres, which is, I believe, the biggest asteroid in the asteroid belt.
It is.
Yeah, I can't remember how he pronounced it, but it's one of those like, come on, man. This is not a weird word. Like
Ceres, like the goddess?
The goddess, yes.
That's what it's named after.
How do you mispronounce goddess that? Of the heart. There's like 5 letters.
Hey, it's
I think he called it like Carrie's or something like that. Oh, like, no, like he went from the soft C to the hard C.
I can tell you exactly how it happened. The same way same reason I mispronounce shit is because you read it before you ever hear it.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Alan.
Hey, weird.
What is the moon of Pluto?
Oh, Cerberus.
No. There's not a Cerberus.
Is there? I thought there was a moon and they named it Cerberus.
That would make sense, but I think it only has one moon and it's not. It's named after the boatman, not the dog.
Oh.
Chiron?
Chiron. I think that's what
Chiron.
Chiron. Chiron.
Just wanted to make sure you had the chi in the front of it instead of the ch.
Well, that would be Sharon, and I don't think they named it after my ex-wife.
Oh, adorable.
Yeah. Although, well, never mind. We won't go there.
Good.
Oh, boy. Ba-doom-tsh. You can think of that joke yourself, people.
Yes.
So let's talk about the nuclear option.
I was just about to poorly segue to it myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Senator Harry Reid. Actually, it should be called the Reid option. After the NRA A+ rated good on guns, Harry Reid.
Yeah.
And somebody posted a flashback tweet from November 21st, 2013, where Senator Harry Reid said, "Thanks to all of you who encouraged me to consider filibuster reform. It had to be done."
Yep. Same idea. Was actually the a local radio show is playing Elizabeth Warren complaining about the filibuster and saying that all the filibuster is being done is trying to erase the results of the last election.
Right.
Of course, she didn't make that statement recently.
Uh-huh. Well,
so of course, always adorable of just like the when Gorsuch was not being appointed by Trump, everyone loved him.
Right.
And now that he's a Trump appointee, he is the most radical guy on earth.
Well, somebody said you could if Trump had nominated Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the Democrats would have been against her.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, and it's hilarious on the, you know, the Republicans need to compromise.
Well,
no. No. Again, when they say compromise, they mean lie down and take it in the ass.
Where was it? Oh yeah, here we go.
Plus it's the Republicans that have like Lindsey Graham and John McCain.
Right.
Speaking of which, why is it that Don Rickles is dead but John McCain is still alive? John McCain's lived a long, good life.
Because we actually live in hell.
It is time for him to... Who was it that made that great quote, run out of gas? Was that Tucker Carlson? Who said that?
I don't remember.
I need to look that up right now.
So, well, but the whole, you know, filibuster is a parliamentary thing that comes to us from, fuck, I don't know, maybe Greece. Who the hell knows? It's one of those parliamentary things. I think it
comes from Scandinavia because it means filibuster means pirate. And I believe it's like in like Dutch or Swedish or something.
Hmm.
Well, so basically, you know, historically the filibuster, and you see there's a classic scene in the movie, the Ford movie.
Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
Yes, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. There's the classic filibuster where the guy has to stand up and talk and not shut up. Mm-hmm. And that was the filibuster until the 20th century when they came up with this. They got lazy is what it was. So none of them wanted to actually stand up and talk a long time. So they came up with this idea of cloture, which was adopted in 1917 by the Democrats because they're a bunch of lazy bastards and they wanted to. They wanted to be able to have a filibuster without actually going through the effort of doing a filibuster. So they, you know, until you had the number of votes to overcome cloture, basically they considered it to be the equivalent of a filibuster. So, I think the filibuster, I think they should get rid of it completely. I don't think it should be a thing. I think, you know, I mean, think about it. You got the president and he's got, you know, constitutionally has to make a bunch of appointments. And, you know, hey, who was it that said, oh yeah, like Obama said, elections have consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if the president gets to appoint a Supreme Court justice, then, you know, as long as the Senate, you know, as long as there's he can muster enough votes in the Senate to confirm it, then, you know, why not? Plus, it's funny watching the Democrats, who are 100% in favor of strict majority rule in a presidential election.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly,
I did notice that. Yeah.
Suddenly, not wanting a strict majority rule when they're not the majority.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they're hilarious. They just again yeah. they don't want it. They say compromise, but that's not at all how they play.
No.
Is there absolutely going to be the, like, I mean, we all know that if Hillary had been had won and the Democrats had gained control, like, they would be at least attempting. I mean, when Obama won in his first term and he had the supermajority.
Oh yeah, they rammed everything.
They tried to run roughshod over us.
Right.
They were too fucking stupid to do it.
Yeah, but they damn sure tried.
But they damn sure tried. Again, did Obama try to take your guns while he was in office? 8 years. How many guns did he confiscate? Well, he tried to confiscate all of them.
Right.
He's an idiot, so he didn't accomplish it. But if
the Democrats had retained control of the Senate and the House, you guarantee they would have.
Exactly. Exactly. If they'd come up with a better way to do it, and we weren't fighting back all the time.
Right.
Yeah. No, they would have.
And I guarantee you that if Hillary Clinton had won the presidency and was nominating a Supreme Court judge, the Democrats would be destroying.
Oh, see, there's another thing that bugs me is
filibuster.
Neil Gorsuch is, as far, I mean, I like the guy. As far as I can tell from everything I've heard and all of his comments and the cases he's done, overall, he's pretty rock solid. And this is coming from, you know, me, libertarian leaning guy. I don't much care for the Republicans. I don't much care for the Democrats. I don't like Trump. But you know what? As far as a guy that to sit on the bench, I like him. And it seems like overall, that's kind of the way the Republicans nominate when they have a good one, a good justice is literally someone who just looks at the law.
Right.
And says how the law applies to it, you know, what you're supposed to do. But then with Democrats, you've got Ruth Bader Ginsburg being the greatest example. And, you know, we've got, you know, the wise Latina and Paul Blart.
Right.
Who are just absolute political animals and don't. I don't even know what the hell their names are. Like, literally, I decided to be clever instead of being stupid and going, what the fuck are their names? Sonia Sotomayor and what's the other
Kagan.
One?
Kagan.
And the other guy.
Yeah, Elena Kagan. Kagan. But they are absolute, like, political animals.
Oh, yeah, they are completely political. They don't
give a
fuck. The Constitution and the law is completely meaningless.
Exactly. I mean, just look at the Heller. The Heller decision is a great example. Is the Heller decision was 7-0 that the Second Amendment applies as to an individual right.
Right,
but three of those seven thought that even though it applies to an individual right, they should be able to ban guns.
Right.
So I mean, just think about that.
Yep.
I mean, that's just diametrically opposed of the. I mean, again, first up, like, I mean, I know it was Chance would say uncle seemed to be saying it all the time. It was just the rule that the Second Amendment says what it means, what it fucking says.
Yeah.
Cause that's it. I was always as a kid when I first read the Second Amendment, cause of course, you know, I think I read it in like the, you know, 91, 92 for the first time, like actual read the full text of the Bill of Rights. And so I've been hearing all these debates about which guns we should have and which guns should be banned and the Second Amendment and all that. And I'm like, man, this is a really heated debate that's going on. Like, man, let me read this. This is going to be like, this thing's going to be like paragraphs upon paragraphs upon paragraphs. No, it's two lines. It's nothing. And right. It's one of those, like, it's two lines and, you know, and someone with a fourth grade education can understand it.
Yes, but it takes a degree in law to really fuck it up.
Yes.
And well, a completely political animal with no conscience.
Oh yeah, I mean, like, again, I'm pro gay marriage, but I gotta say, the Massachusetts got gay marriage. We were the first state to get it, and we got it because the Supreme Court of Massachusetts ruled that, in fact, that when the Massachusetts Constitution was being written by people like Sam Adams and John Adams and Paul Revere, they totally were talking about two dudes hooking up.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No. No, I mean, you can't say that the Constitution of Massachusetts, which was written by a bunch of people in the 18th century, were totally thinking about like two dudes and two women getting married. When if two dudes and two women applied for a certificate to get married, they'd hang them. I'm pretty sure we were still executing gays.
I don't know. In yeah, those days, whole, I don't think
yeah,
the homosexuality was like a
I don't think it was
thing.
A, I don't
people think talked
it,
about.
I don't think it was a capital crime.
Okay.
I have no idea.
I don't think Western countries have executed gays for being gay for several centuries.
Okay. Either way, it was against the law.
Now, they might, you know, that doesn't say they can beat the shit out of them and do other things and you know, lynch them and who knows what. I mean, obviously that went on, but I'm talking about
officially.
Can we
go a little point of the running them out of town on a rail and tarring and feathering
right,
and pitch
right.
capping and all those
yes,
stuff?
Yes, of course.
Can we also agree that because the medicine was absolute garbage on there, that even though they technically weren't executing them, they were executing
right.
them?
But what I'm saying is there was not an official government. They weren't, you know, putting them in, like, hanging them and putting them in the electric chair as, you know, a sentence for that. I'd have to do
research. By the way, I looked it up. The filibuster is derived from Dutch.
Yeah.
And not really sure why we have that. Why it is the Dutch term we use, but allegedly the first, according to Wikipedia, one of the first known practitioners of the filibuster was Roman Senator Cato the Younger. In debates over legislation he especially opposed, Cato would often obstruct the measure by speaking continuously until nightfall, as the Roman Senate had a rule requiring all business to conclude by dusk. So that's pretty cool. Like, he would just go to make his statement and just run the clock out.
Huh.
So good for him. Again, like, kind of cool, though. Again, super primitive and petulant. Like, dude, like, come on. Why is the set? Like, if we can't have Andy Jackson beating the fuck out of people with his cane, we can have the filibuster so long as we can also have Old Hickory.
I think we ought to do that. I would love to see fisticuffs on the Senate floor. That would be awesome. Man, talk about making C-SPAN worth watching.
Talk about changing the scope of the electorate.
Right.
I mean, come on. Anthony Weiner keeps getting reelected.
Yeah.
Yeah. not when that little panty waist gets the living fuck kicked out of him on the Senate right. floor.
And his wife took him back again, by the way. Uma.
Yeah.
Yep.
The theory on Anthony that is the theory on that is because they can't, so they can't be forced to testify against each other.
Yeah, that's what I heard. But, you know, why bother doing the whole pretense of, oh, they're working on their marriage, blah, blah, blah. Just why even mention it at that point?
Because that's what Democrats do, is they try to humanize their lizard people. It was just like, I mean, nobody, ever thought that that Hillary and Bill was anything but a marriage of convenience.
Right.
I mean, especially now in 2020 hindsight, with the Hillary running for president and trying to become the most powerful, like her quality, like everything she has done has absolutely been like, she's, and I'm not speaking ill of her. She climbed the ladder brilliantly. She married Bill and wrote his coattail. Ultimately failed, yes, but she. But let's face it. I mean, I can't game her against anybody. But you know, I can't game out how she would do against somebody other than Donald Trump.
I think it's funny that she's a feminist hero, and yet everything she's done has been through latching onto the coattails of a man.
No. Her Senate seat was done by just pure and utter carpet bagging.
Well, yeah, but if she hadn't have been the wife of Bill Clinton, former that would have never happened.
She wouldn't have gotten away with that if she hadn't been former first lady, and she wouldn't have gotten Secretary of State if she hadn't been former first lady, and again latching onto the coattails of a man.
Yeah. Okay, so I went back and looked up the whole. Death penalty for homosexuality.
Oh, thank you.
And it's actually fascinating. I think
okay.
Well, the laws in the U.S. come from the laws in England. So from 1533, it was a capital felony for any person to commit the detestable and abominable vice of buggery with mankind or beast.
Buggery.
It was repealed and reenacted several times until it was reinstated in 1563, remaining unchanged until 1861. In the U.S., colonial America had the same laws as the United Kingdom, obviously, and the revolutionary states took many of those laws as basis for their own. The last law where the death penalty was on the statute books was South Carolina, and the law was not repealed until 1873. The number of times the penalty was carried out is actually unknown. So... maybe never.
Yeah, maybe never. Yeah, because I'm like, I think it'd be pretty easy to know.
Well,
I mean, we're not China. Like when we execute somebody, we let everyone know. We brag about it.
But at the same time, like you said, there were a lot of lynchings and things like that that never came to official. And you know, I mean, until God, I don't know, the 90s maybe? It wasn't even fashionable to be gay.
Is it fashionable?
Oh, I think it is now.
You think so?
Well, queer eye for the straight guy.
Yeah.
Well,
game, set, match.
Totally, totally fashionable.
Well, they are more fashionable. That's
true. You know what I'm saying? I mean, now, I remember when I was a kid, being gay was like, oh my God. I mean, it was like the worst thing ever. And people would be like, people would, you know, deny it like crazy. I mean, look at Barry Manilow just now.
Oh my God.
Deciding to finally admit what everybody knew all along, you know?
Oh my God. I was in love with Barry Manilow when I was like 4. But come on, Barry Manilow.
Yeah.
Did anyone not know?
But that's what I'm saying. But Barry, but he's from that old school where it was like,
I know. It's
something to be hidden and all that kind of stuff.
Right. And he's been married for years.
Yeah.
I mean, well, no, actually, he's been with the same guy for like 40 years or something. Right. They just got married in 2014.
Yep.
But yeah, it's there's a shift. I think it's a good shift, though. I think that the more gay people who feel like they can come out and be gay and just do their thing and they're not beholden to like any sort of political group to give them power. I think that's a good thing for everybody because it kind of lessens. And I think it's probably a couple generations away of gay people, but I think it lessens the whole identity politics. Because you have like gay people forming families and they have children and they are paying taxes and they're having houses and it's like they realize, hey, well,
once like basically the boomers die off, it's going to cease to be a thing.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. They're the last group of people that give a shit.
Yeah, because the boomers are the last ones that are like, hey, them gays. You know, nobody else cares.
Right. Nobody else cares. Yeah.
So, you know, once they all die off, then it'll be, oh, you're gay. Okay. Whatever.
I was thrilled. I was thrilled. Like, honestly thrilled when gay marriage went through in this country. I was thrilled because I have gay friends that wanted to get married and wanted that the same amount of recognition as straight couples. And I was like, that good, you know, love is love. Love each other, you know, have your marriage, be happy. I don't see anything wrong with that. However, the way that Obama went about getting there kind of bothered me.
Well, yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is. And I'm happy it went through, but
I am firmly in favor of gay marriage because I don't think they should be left out of the misery the rest of us have to put up with.
You're not married.
Well, I was. Damn it. They should have to get divorces and pay alimony and child support and all that kind of stuff too, damn it. Because, you know,
I got to say, as much as I dislike Obama, I find a real hard time, too, with him getting rid of the whole, you know, I have a hard time taking fault in him getting rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Right.
Oh, yeah. That was stupid.
That was so the fucking worst stupid thing ever, because it's one of those like, yeah, man, it's Don't Ask, Don't Tell. But it's one of those like, yeah, man, but these dudes go overseas. And what are they doing? They're writing letters and making phone calls to their wives and their girlfriends.
Right.
And all of a sudden you're going to make, you know, a private first class talk about, oh yeah, no, I'm calling back to my roommate, or my best buddy back home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Really? That's what you're doing.
Wait a minute. Who did Don't Ask, Don't Tell?
That would be William Jefferson Clinton.
I think there's a lot of Don't Ask, Don't Tell in his own personal life. No.
There's a lot of he wished nobody had told.
I believe it's not Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I believe the term you're looking for is Put Some Ice on That.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Quick, get the stain remover. Oh, shit. Oh, man. And the Democrats think that Trump is a horrible person. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He might have once talked
to a Russian somewhere.
I am kind of glad that apparently we're over this whole idea that the president can only be married one time and never be divorced. I'm glad that our culture has gotten over that.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, what? Melania's his third wife. And everybody's like, yeah, okay, he's married, divorced. All right, fine.
Yeah, like everybody else that's his age.
Like everybody else. You know, yeah. But there was kind of this feeling up until I think that was kind of the Clinton thing where they had to do this whole facade of this marriage.
Oh, yeah. They did the Hillary did her little kabuki theater thing of, you know, standing by her man.
Right. And I'm glad that's over. You know, that the president, the idea that a president could be divorced like 20 years ago was like, oh no, he's divorced, you know, how scandalous. But now it's like, yeah, okay, everybody, you know, divorce, whoop-de-doo.
Was it even though? Because I mean,
oh yeah,
I grew up with Reagan, and uh-huh, I didn't even realize that Nancy was his second wife.
Well, that's because a divorce was so scandalous.
But meanwhile, I mean, I grew up in Southern Maine, everybody I hung out with hated him. And like, we were firmly in that like super duper blue lefty. Oh, he's an awful president. He's a bad guy,
mm-hmm,
and all that. But yet they never made there was all the talk about there was certainly all the talk about the potential for the, who knows if it was Alzheimer's or actually, no, he might even be just a normal person. Like the fact that he was a napper. He'd go and take a nap. Maybe there's something else to it. Maybe he was just a guy that when 3 o'clock slump goes around, like he's a power napper. He can pop down for a half hour and then work late into the night. You know, so the, you know, who knows, but like that was him being a napper and him being forgetful. And there are all these like just nasty jokes being made about Reagan, but yet never, it was never brought up that, oh yeah, no, he's divorced.
Well, it was kind of like not a discussed issue,
but also at the same time. Yeah. Like most of my, you know, like half of my friends were their parents were split up.
Right.
You know, I remember just thinking about the fact that, oh, you know what, like almost thinking about like my parents breaking up as like a, is like an inevitability sort of thing of the, you know, oh,
well, statistically it is.
And statistically it is, but it didn't happen. They're still together.
Yeah. Well,
but they're a weird, they're weirdos that way.
Yeah, they are.
Especially since neither one of them's been president.
Can we just, before we go,
yeah,
just talk for a minute about the kid mm-hmm. in Oklahoma?
Congratulations, you killed three bad guys.
Who took out three burglars, armed burglars, with
but they're only knives. They were only armed with knives.
Yep.
There wasn't a fair fight, right?
Yeah, there's so many things that come from this. First of all, congratulations. That guy, awesome. And if you listen to the 911 call, he's
not, oh my God,
he's not freaking out or anything. It's just
he's got his shit together. That kid.
He's got his shit together, and he is giving very, very good instructions.
Yep. Also, I am actually pleased that a lot of people are butthurt over. You know, like the family members are pulling the typical, oh, they didn't deserve to get shot. Oh, yes, they did.
What's hilarious is the grandfather that was going through. I haven't independently verified this, but I saw somebody pulled it up. But evidently, grandpappy of adorable little 16-year-old, you know, serial robber, ex-felon.
Yeah.
Oh, I knew it. Yeah.
Violent
it.
Ex-felon. Yeah. Assault with a deadly weapon.
Yeah.
I knew it. Yeah, I'm not surprised at all.
And now the female getaway driver is being charged with their murders.
Triple murder.
Triple felony felony murder.
Yeah.
The only problem is she turned herself in.
Well, mm-hmm. I don't think.
It just means Oklahoma's got the death penalty.
Well, yeah, but I don't think right. they. I don't think this is a death penalty.
The secondary murder charge.
Yeah,
it could be if they wanted it to, but I don't think they'll go for it.
The death penalty is like egregious premeditated murder. They really say that for the, and this was not that.
No, I mean, she has admitted that she was the mastermind behind the robberies.
Oh yeah, I know, but they're not gonna. Plus, you know, she's a woman. They're not gonna, even in Oklahoma, they're not gonna give her the death penalty.
Right.
It's just not gonna.
And she's got three kids.
Three kids.
Ugh.
There's a reason just to give her the needle right there. There's just put your mom in the ground so she can't fuck you up the way you did. I don't care how bad the foster homes are.
Yeah, they can't be any worse.
I saw an interview with her, and she said that at the time when she was being the getaway driver, there was someone else in the car, but she will not identify the other person in the car. And I thought to myself,
it was Hillary Clinton.
No, I bet you it was one of her kids.
It probably was.
Mother of three.
It was take your kid to work day.
Yeah. It was take your work. Yeah. So I bet you it was one of her kids, and that's why she's not talking about it. But, yeah. Yep. So congratulations to the guy.
Yep.
Got rid
By
of
the way, guys. Allegedly he was taking a nap when they kicked the door in. So he got woken up.
Yeah.
Had the forethought to grab the AR, encountered the guys, told them to get the fuck out of his house. They elected not to get the fuck out of his house, and only one of them managed to get out of the house before he died in the driveway.
Well, you know, the kid, the young man who, you know, did the shooting, he was really upset that he killed the guys.
Well, of course, mm-hmm. That's because he was upset about it.
He's not a psychopath, but, yeah, you know, he called called right away to get 911 and to get ambulances there and stuff. So it was, you know, he's not a monster, but he was doing the right thing.
Yep.
He was defending his home. He didn't know. I mean, these people came, busted into his house. They were wearing all black, were wearing black face masks across their face. I would shoot them too. I would I wouldn't even ask questions before I shot them.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know what these people are here for. I don't know how many of them there are.
No.
You know, there's three people dressed in black in my house. They're, you know, come on.
Again, speaking about reporters being complete fucking idiots, there's a lot of talk being thrown around of stand your ground with this case. But no, you're thinking about Castle Doctrine.
Right.
Would stand your ground, the overall statement is that if you are someplace that you are allowed to be, so you're not trespassing, you're not, you know, violating something, I guess in theory, carrying in a place that has posted no carrying, whatever. And somebody is doing something, you do not have to leave that location, you know, and well, which essentially
no duty to retreat.
No duty to retreat. That's where the stand your ground is if you've got every right, to be there and someone threatens you. And again, I mean, the bottom line of the duty to retreat is, I mean, by the time it comes to clearing leather, you've already retreated. Got to assume that you saw something funky going on or all that, or they caught you flat footed. You're not going to be running away.
But Castle Doctrine is a completely separate issue.
Yes.
Castle Doctrine means that when you're in, first up, when you're in your house, you're in your stronghold. So therefore you're already retreated.
You have nowhere to retreat to.
You have nowhere to retreat to. And again, this is that location is yours. You are the master and commander of that space. So therefore, just by saying, get the fuck out of my house, you have stated that person has no right to be in that space. And Castle Doctrine, as a general rule, says if somebody is in, you know, is in your home and they have entered by illegal means and against your will, you can automatically assume they're not there to use the bathroom. You can automatically assume they are there to do you harm.
Yep.
So even though, yes, these guys, supposedly they said that there was a knife. I heard someone say it was a pocket knife. So who knows if the dude didn't have like a box cutter stuck in his pocket somewhere. I'm trying to paint the scenario. Yeah. Is the difference between a dude kicking down my back door with a K-bar in his hand and a dude kicking down my back door with a box cutter in his back pocket? That makes a slightly different scenario. As far as Castle Doctrine goes, no, a dude kicking down my back door, period.
Yep.
I'm going to assume that they're going to do something awful to me, even if I don't see any weapons, don't see any threat.
They just kicked in your door, for God's sakes.
And they had robbed the same house earlier in the morning.
Yeah.
They had robbed the garage. I guess they had stolen speakers or something from the garage. And then they decided they're going to go back to the house during the day.
Yep.
Brilliant.
So, yeah.
Good for them.
Yep. Good for them. And yeah, just so you know, yeah, for all the people of the, those foolish teenagers, I'll tell you, not breaking into houses. It's super duper easy.
Yeah.
I do it every day.
I've gone my entire life without doing it. It's not that
bad. Never done.
And think about how old Alan is.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, Alan was talking about being a Cub Scouts and cooking mammoth over the fire.
That's right.
And still has never broken into a house.
It was delicious mammoth. Oh, I miss the days.
Yep. Too bad you ate that last motherfucker, huh? Kind of wish you'd gone vegetarian that day. Had a little bit of a meatless Tuesday.
Nah, it was worth it.
But if it's the last mammoth, you might as well eat it because there's not going to be any more.
That's right. Might as well get some good out of it. Yeah. All right.
Speaking of one more thing. Speaking of last mammoth, just so you know, there will never ever. I don't care what anyone's told you. There will never be a mammoth ever again.
What? Why?
Every few years, someone talks about, oh, we're starting a project to clone a mammoth.
I'm totally against it, by the way.
Oh, I'd be actually totally for it if they could do it, but they can't do it.
Why not?
Loneliest mammoth ever. The idea being, it was sad.
Is essentially they'd be hollowing out an elephant's egg.
Right.
And stuffing it. So we've got mammoth DNA.
Right.
That's not a problem. I mean, it might be a problem because it might not be particularly good DNA. I don't know.
I got a lot of frozen mammoth meat.
Yeah. So you got the DNA, you hollow out the egg and put the mammoth DNA into that. So you, in theory, have a mammoth egg, kinda.
Right.
And that kinda could be any length of things. Just look at Dolly the cloned sheep that died like 3 years later. You got the clone mammoth egg. You would then breed, you would essentially fertilize that egg and with elephant sperm and put it into the female. So then you would have a half elephant, half mammoth if everything went perfectly.
But if it's they don't do that with clones.
But what I'm trying to say is that you would have to start back crossing to try to breed out all the elephants on it. Well, and you're dealing with an animal with the longest gestational period in the world.
But when they clone an animal, that's not how they do it.
Yes, but I don't think they can clone the mammoth. I don't think we've got enough stuff to do that.
Well,
good.
Like Brita says, that would be a lonely fucking mammoth.
Sad mammoth.
And really, we just raise it up big enough to kill it and eat it. We did it just to know what mammoth tasted like.
It'd be some guy, some top chef guy out there auctioning off mammoth burgers.
It'd be time travelers going back in time to kill extinct animals.
You know what? That's actually a staple of time travel stories. The time travel safari, the big game safari.
Oh, yeah.
Where you go back and kill dinosaurs and shit.
But I'd go,
because they're all going to die anyway. Who cares?
Do it just to eat them.
Yeah. Brontosaurus burgers, man.
That's right. Just to put a brontosaurus tongue in your instant pot.
by that thinking, you could go back in time and just be a serial killer because they're just going to die anyway.
Well, no, but the thing is, no dinosaurs live past the extinction event, so it doesn't matter what you do back then. Well, you could kill them all, and it wouldn't make a difference.
Well. You could kill an individual, and they.
Brita, you can go back. Okay. You can go back time and be a serial killer. Don't worry.
Okay. Total,
you absolutely can.
Yeah.
I have a list.
Oh yeah. Don't we all?
What is number 0001 in the series?
I can't tell.
Well. You know, you have like a top 10 and the number one kind of shuffles around, you know, depending on how you feel that
day. Brita, yes, you can tell because if they're still alive, that means you didn't do it.
Not yet.
Well, yeah, there's always that, you know, if you publicize your list and then they die, then it's like, oops, you know, especially if it was under suspicious.
Yes, but then it takes Jean-Claude Van Damme will need to arrest her and only Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I don't know. Chuck Norris could probably do it.
Maybe. No, because Chuck Norris was not in Time Cop.
Oh. I got it. It has to be Time Cop.
The opening of that movie was the fucking best. The Confederate wagon filled with gold, and the dude's just standing in the middle of the road, and they're like cocking their cap locks and like, You better get off the road and let us get through, or we're gonna, you know, or we're gonna tell the. And he pulls out a pair of Mac 10s and just kills them all.
Yet another time travel trope. Taking machine guns back to the Civil War.
Exactly, and not just any
so cliche
shitty ones.
Yeah, it's always shitty ones. What's up with that? They always
Hollywood.
Yeah. Well, actually, I can tell you why, because somebody sat around and thought, the machining capabilities in the 1800s were not up to H&K standards, so.
But yeah, but this guy came from the future.
So what?
That was not an 1867.
So would you want him to use a pulse rifle?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh my God, we could have a nerd fest. But okay,
maybe one of the smart guns, because those ones didn't get nearly enough play.
Oh, smart guns. Fuck. Don't just drop it.
Smart guns. Yeah, but it's hard. You can't drop it. You gotta take the harness off first.
Oh God. Okay. Good night, everybody.
Yep, we're done. Dad joke, let's go. We're done. Bye.
Good night, internet.
Oh my God.